Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casinelli is officially back. He's truly back from CES, and that means it's time to talk about the cool stuff that he saw. Plus, we talk a little bit about how he shot his CES experience and round things out with our picks of the week. Stay tuned. Smart Tech Today is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless. Visit lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Hover. Use a domain name that truly represents you and your passion. Visit hover.com/twit to get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. And by Zapier. Zapier connects all your business software and handles the work for you so you can focus on what matters most. Right now, through the end of next month, go to zapier.com/STT for your free 14-day trial. And by Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/STT and using the promo code STT at checkout. Welcome back to Smart Tech Today, where we explain the exciting, the dynamic, and the, well, sometimes confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent,
and I'm Matthew Casinelli. Alive after CES.
Yes.
Which
is... Oh, Matthew, you are back in the saddle. You made it. Did you get sick?
I have a slight sniffle, but I feel fine.
I did sleep
from like 7 to 11:30 p.m. on Saturday, and then a full night of sleep after that. So
nice.
I was like, definitely needed the rest, but it was an awesome week. It was very fun, and I am thrilled to have gone for the first time, basically. It's definitely a unique experience, and to get a, like, I guess I was going to say a hands-on tech version of, of like what's coming this year, and also a lot of stuff that will never come in the future, but that's something I'll cover soon.
Yeah, so first, obviously, this being your first go to CES, one of the things that surprised me was how long it took, when it was that you told me that you were going to CES. Most of the time, folks are planning this, you know, many months in advance, and you kind of were just like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to CES. And I said, oh,
I think I was already in Vegas when I told you.
Yeah, pretty much. You were you already had landed in Vegas like, hey, I'm at CES. So,
yeah, just FYI.
How was that?
It was great. I mean, the reason that all happened was I signed up to get like a media type pass, and I guess now I'm officially a social media influencer because that's what my badge said. And I was like, this is embarrassing to walk around all week and have to like explain the situation to people. but I don't know, like part of my brain was like, I shouldn't be allowed in. Like I'm an imposter, basically imposter syndrome to the maximum. But also, I think I even for a while had problems with like my badge. It didn't fully confirm, or I got weird emails, and so I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to go. And then the other thing was that I was like, hotels in Vegas are cheap, but I didn't put in the date range, and they went from like $50 to like $250 a night. So on last Sunday, right before I was supposedly going to go, I like tweeted, does anyone have anywhere to stay?
And your own
an awesome
Airbnb
follower. Yeah, basically. But this amazing follower was super generous, generally keeps anonymous, so I'm not going to say his name, but he completely made my week, and I will probably be eternally grateful to this person because I got to stay at like their dad's house that they just want somebody to like go to every once in a while sort of thing. So I was only like 15 minutes away from downtown, and then I got to stay for the whole week for free, which was amazing.
That is incredible.
And I drove from Berkeley to Los Angeles the day that I decided that on Sunday. Vegas. Yeah. Which is actually like pretty close. I didn't even really realize.
How long did it take?
Like 8 hours.
Eight?
According to the map, I might have gotten there slightly faster and home. But I also definitely, like on the way home, I could tell that I blew through gas because it said that I was going to make it home on the tank and then I had to fill up beforehand. So
what
I was.
Do you drive?
I have a Subaru Outback. And so it did. One of the things that was amazing, I guess I'll plug this smart tech, is adaptive cruise control, because that does like. Just save you mental energy because it will slow down when there's a car in front of you and stuff like that.
What?
And so
that sounds
just like
awesome.
For extremely long road trips. Yeah, it was like I honestly didn't really have a problem and I had stopped a couple times to keep stretching and stuff like that. But it was like it was good. It was feasible that way. Otherwise, because I was going to
by yourself for the trip. Correct.
Yeah, I did get in. I stopped at a rest stop and took a nap on the way there because nice. I was getting tired and I was like, this is a stupid idea. I want to make it home from CES.
Yeah.
It's not worth, I don't know, like busting my butt just to get there.
I have but, to so ask, I was, hold on before yeah. you continue. I want to know, what did you listen to or what did you, how did you, you know, entertain yourself, on the ride?
I listen to like 2 tech podcasts because they're all so long. and some were about, also like on the way home, like Star Wars podcasts, basically, because they were talking about that. But like both ways.
So it was podcasts.
Even for like an hour, I kind of just like didn't listen to anything and just kind of drove.
Yeah. So I listen to audiobooks and I listen to music because if I listen to podcasts, I will fall asleep while driving. And after a while, I have to stop listening to audiobooks too. Because if I listen to music, then I typically sing along to said music and that really keeps me in the flow.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was curious to hear about that. So you get to CES, and you're new to the whole thing. So did you know how this all was going to work? Like, did you have a plan in place or were you just like,
absolutely not.
I will show up and we'll see what happens.
I didn't know that there was keynotes the week or like the 3 days before. So I could have gone to like a bunch of that stuff. I went on Monday thinking the convention was already like somewhat open and wasn't at all. and then I also like missed PepCom and Showstoppers, which are like the media events for you to get previews of stuff.
Right.
And then even I realized on the last day that I hadn't gone to Aria, which had a bunch of like individual, instead of booths out on a floor, it was like brands would like rent spaces there and you could go and stuff like that. So I didn't end up seeing the Philips Hue line or anything like that, which was just dumb. I mean, even I will put this out there that CES's app was not very good. Like
no,
it would let you zoom into a map or search by just like the name of the company, not any of their products or anything like that. And so I just found it as a first person, first time there, like it was hard to pick where I wanted to go and like make any sort of plan besides just like the major keynotes. I did see the Quibi keynote, which I generally
Quibi?
Regret going to. do you know anything about that?
What's it's like Quibi? Quibi.
It's a new paid streaming service, and their whole thing is supposed to be entirely mobile only, I believe. And you can turn your phone to like see a different camera angle on the scene that's being shot, or even switch to the character's perspective in the show where it's their phone, look like what's on their phone and stuff.
So gimmicks on gimmicks on gimmicks.
A little bit. I mean, I was impressed by their series of launch partners. Like they had like 200 actors' faces up there and they're like, they're all making stuff.
I saw,
and I thought it was
Christine Teigen was on the main page.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She has what's her show? It's like reading mean tweets or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but some of them I think will do well. And I thought some of the most interesting parts was even the technology where they basically deliver both the like phone version and what you would see in a normal screen all in one package of video along with the audio. So instead of like, here's the phone stream and then here's the video feed, it's all like one compressed version. So that was just kind of an interesting tech, like how are they even delivering this? But there was like, they had a cool little prop where like it was a 3D printed piece of technology that would both film the person's screen and then backwards at their perspective. So
okay.
I thought there was some like cool bit of future filmmaking, but the service itself is a little like you have to like turn the phone to the side and then like tap it to switch the views. And it sounded very interactive in a way that I don't interact with my television when I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
And then it's also only on your phone. And they're like, millennials only want to watch videos in 5 minute. I think I was filming the keynote and you can see it start shaking because I'm laughing at like the line that, I mean, it's extremely brand friendly. Like they're pushing hard with advertisers where it will be like, they can do a native type of video in this experience and stuff. So
it's Snapchat Stories made into a streaming service.
Yeah, but like also movie level storytelling in that, ideally.
In 5 minutes.
So it was interesting, but the thing that sucked was that on the way back, our shuttle like took a wrong turn, and I was literally on a shuttle from 11:09. I looked at my steps in my Apple Watch to see when until like 12:15, and so it was over an hour on a shuttle that should have taken 15 minutes. And like, it's like middle aged people getting all upset and like yelling at the driver and stuff like that. It was wild, and it was just like frustrating because it just gave me an hour and a half less on the show floor that
right.
I wanted to go. Like, I did realize that I missed our friends WeCharge or WeCharge. I still don't remember
yeah.
how to say it.
I think it's WeCharge.
I could have asked them in person.
Yeah. Remind
but
me.
I saw the booth and was like, I'm going to come back, and then didn't because I just like got so much in. And even like, I think the first day I walked 13 miles
nice.
And then on average, like 9 after that. So I was saying to someone, my hip sockets hurt because my body has been just like hitting those over
yes.
and over. I was like, that's never happened to me before.
Yeah, that is a big thing, the amount of walking that you do. And then usually you're not paying attention to your intake of food and water in the same way.
Yeah,
and so you
exactly.
end up exhausting yourself before you normally would. Yeah, it ends up being a whole thing. But I do appreciate the bit of fitness that happens there. It's kind of
yeah,
nice.
It was like good way to start the year. I guess I crushed my goals.
Yeah, crush it. So, I mean, continuing down this line, you know, if the app wasn't working for you to find stuff and you couldn't necessarily count on the shuttles to do things, what was your method for going to a particular place and finding things that you wanted to? Or did you just kind of like, I'll let it stream over me and we'll just see what we see.
Yeah, exactly that. I was like, I'm just going to walk all the show floors and just, I think I saw somebody on Twitter saying, use your visual filter. Just like if you see a booth and you're like, nah, it that even is like, does lead back all the way to like their product and stuff. There are some booths that I was like, there's no way you're going to get me to like be corralled in this tight space with your employees, like handing me stuff. I was
right.
Like one guy at there's a place called Eureka Park, which is like the like not fully proven ideas space yet and stuff like that. And one guy like chased me down with the thing and I was like, you need to stop. Like, this is inappropriate. Like, I was like, I'm never going to look at your brand or consider it again because you just like totally bothered me. And
that's great. You need to stop.
Yeah, it was like, I like said no. And he was like, wait, but like, take this. And I was like, dude, like, take a hint. I don't know. It was bad.
Oof, that's
yeah,
creepy.
I feel like overall, I am not. I'm cynical in some ways, but I'm not like a war-torn like
yeah.
CES attendee who's like, I've been going for 8 years and also like I chose to go. I didn't have to like file a story after 10 minutes and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think that helped a lot.
That makes a huge difference, truly. I can remember all the times that I went, no matter how many stories I filed or how many, you know, photos I took and submitted or how many things I did, it never felt like it was enough.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I wasn't doing what worth what the company was spending on having me there. And that makes it a miserable experience when you're constantly checking in like that. And even whenever it's like, oh yeah, we're good. No, I don't feel like we've done enough. I don't feel like I've done enough. I don't feel like I've done enough. So I'm staying up all night. And yeah, that part makes it not good. Sure. So I guess I could see how going and just sort of trying to have fun while you get to check out all these different things makes it a difference. And I will say, like, my first time going, certainly I wanted to come back after my first time. We'll see how it goes next year. But I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff there. And there were a couple of times when I was watching Anton Leo's excellent CES Adventure, all these different videos, that I was like, man, I wish I was there seeing that. There are some things
we should do it next year. I would have fun. Just for Smart Tech Today, and like,
we could have a good time, I think.
I feel like, especially with the video, I mean, like, I struggled because I didn't just have someone to like hand my camera to shoot a video of me. And so I kind of opted not to do that at all because I was like, I'm going to stress out the entire time and then feel really bad that I like couldn't edit this in time for. So my whole strategy was I shot the whole thing with the ultra wide camera on my phone.
Shot with ultra wide.
Yeah. So that was, I kind of like picked, I don't want to say a gimmick, but just like an angle of like, here's what it's like at first ever CES. And so I didn't like do selfies where I'm like talking to the person about the product. It was mostly just like getting a sense of what was there. And like, I'm going to make a list of everything that's in the video at least so you can see it all. But I also found out a cool technique for if you are shooting by yourself.
Before you get to that technique, I do want to take a quick break to tell you this episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Hover. Hover is a jumping off point for many entrepreneurs, and they want you to start your business with a domain name that truly showcases who you are. Hover has over 300 domain name extensions to choose from when building your brand online. No matter what you want to build, there's a domain name waiting for it. Absolutely true. I went ahead and went to my Hover site today and discovered that I had purchased a domain called crowshat.com. And I have no idea why I have this domain, but I do have it, and it reroutes to MacBreak Weekly. So apparently it was something we talked about on MacBreak Weekly. I have several domains, one that I bought for my sister for her custom shoe design work that she does. And so the domain reroutes to her Instagram page where you can check out her shoes. And then I was also able to set up an email for her very easily. Hover makes it super simple, not only to find domains and also find good deals on domains, but to then manage them after that. Plus, you're going to find excellent technical support available to answer any questions you may have. In fact, their support team doesn't upsell you. That's one of the things you don't want to call. And then they're like, oh, well, can we get you into this bigger, brighter vehicle? In this case, it would be domain. No, they only work hard to help you get online. They do the job they were sent there to do. Hover has free Whois privacy protection. Yes, that's not an upsell here. You automatically get privacy protection, which is fantastic. And you don't find that a lot of places to purchase domains. You get a clean and easy to navigate user experience and user interface. I can vouch for that. Plus monthly sales on popular top level domains. Yes, Hover is always having deals. In fact, .art is on sale right now for $9.99. That's 50% off. So if you wanted to have Matthew.art, that one might be taken, but maybe Casanelli.art isn't taken. Plus .club, .design, .inc, .online is, only $4.99. Micah.online. Micah.space is only $4.99. All of those, they've always got some different deals available for you. It's not hard to see why Hover is a popular choice for people starting all kinds of businesses. Keeping your domain name separate from hosting gives you the flexibility to choose the right platform for your business. So even if you decide to switch platforms for where you want to host your site, you're going to be able to keep that domain name yours no matter what. You kind of want to keep those separated, and Hover helps you do that very simply. You can use a domain name that truly represents you and your passion. Visit hover.com/twit to get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. That's hover.com/twit for 10% off your domain name extension for a full year. And of course, we thank Hover for their support of this show and all of twit.tv. Thank you so much, Hover. We really do appreciate it. And I appreciate you for keeping track of all of the domains that I have, regardless of whether I need to have them or not. It is very nice to have them all there. Thanks, Hover. All right. So you said you had a technique for us.
Yeah, this is a new strategy that's definitely a little bit silly if you're filming with just an iPhone and you have an Apple Watch. But so I put my phone into my little, I have the Glyph like combo pack thing from Studio Neat, which has a little phone mount that clips onto your phone and stays super secure, and then also has a little mounting point so I can put my microphone and then a little tripod. But basically what I would do was I would angle this out, turn the phone around to face me, like the rear cameras, but like the triple camera system is then facing me. And then you open on your Apple Watch the camera app, and then what it does is show you like the live feed of what you're looking at. And then what I did was I turned my Apple Watch around onto the inside of my wrist so that I could hold up the thing and then look at the video feed in there and see if I was well framed or not. So I only use this a couple times for like a shot that I did of like the CES sign and me just saying, here's what this video is about. And it works best when you're like shooting the in ultra wide because you have like a lot more space. You're not going to just like cut your head off just by wiggling it around. But that was kind of like the funny thing that was happening then is I'm sitting there filming, holding my phone out, and to the people who are on the other side, it looks like I'm filming them. Right. And they're like, oh, sorry, I'm in the shot. And I'm like, no, I'm filming this direction.
Don't you worry, like, you're not in the shot.
So it was pretty funny. But it was like a solo cameraman technique.
That worked
pretty well. I'm glad I didn't do that though for like every booth and then just be like, hold on a second, like, because I can look really stupid. I was mostly just going for like super quick shots, and then I'm going to put it all together as like a little montage with some, I haven't figured out the music, which is probably like what will make or break the video kind of thing. But it's like, I think I shot like 500 clips. Wow. And it's like, but it's only 20 minutes of footage total, which is still a lot, but for that many, it's a little overwhelming.
Absolutely. To sort of have to shuffle through that. So let's talk about some of the things that you saw that, that you really liked, some of the things that you saw that you were very put off by, and everything in between. I don't care where you want to start. That's fine. Sure. Especially in the smart stuff. I mean, I'm sure there were lots of smart home products for one, probably lots of connected tech and everything in between.
Yeah. So I think one of the big things that I've also just seen discussion around CES is that, so it's called the Consumer Electronics Show. And I think John Gruber had an article about like the concept electronics show where there's a lot of stuff that people show at CES that is like a proof of concept that might or might not ship or will just be a technology in some sort of other product. And I think that's fine. Like companies should do that to get a sense of what people actually like. And I heard somebody else saying like, you should give feedback at CES so that if you see something terrible, tell them, don't make this. Because if you say nothing, then they're just going to be like, great, this is awesome, we'll just go ahead with this. And it's like, you can actually give feedback, which is cool. But like a lot of the major headline stuff, I didn't find all that interesting, especially for Smart Tech Today specifically. And I was joking to you before the show that this is called Smart Tech Today, not Smart Tech Tomorrow. And I wanted to focus on stuff that people would be able to buy this year or like anytime soon, not something that might come in the future. So there was like a lot of AR and VR stuff that I kind of just didn't even look at. There was like Sony unveiled a car that they said was mostly to show that they make most of the other products that go in your car, and nobody actually knows that. And so they just are like flexing and like, we might as well just build the whole car around that.
nice flex, Sony.
And then speaking of flexing, there's a lot of foldable displays like the, so for me, even like you are generally more of the like historian of the smart tech stuff. Like, you know that those brands more, and I've been more on the automation side. And so like a lot of these companies I didn't even really remember existed or like had never really heard of, because I generally try not to look at like every single version of smartphones that come out. But I think the Royal FlexPi was like a foldable screen phone that they had like a whole tree of them and stuff like that, that they were, had on display. But somebody was joking. It was like, those are all the unsold ones that they never actually shipped to people. Or just like, I don't know. I am a very consumer tech focused brand, like person, and just like the way I operate. So like, I didn't even remember brands like TCL that have lots of TVs and stuff like that. Like there's whole displays that I was like, okay, but like, I don't know. I did try to filter with like stuff that you could get. And then also, yeah, like 8K TVs, great. Cool. 123 inch mini LED walls, like awesome. But I'm like, people don't even really, or actually, okay, I was going to say people don't have 4K TVs, but one thing I did do was ask all of my Uber drivers what they thought of like CES type stuff. Uh-huh. And like the lady who had like kind of an old school van and like not that much tech has a 4K TV. So I thought that was interesting that like maybe the average person does actually have a 4K TV now.
Yeah.
Like who knows about all the HDR fanciness and all right. that. But
yeah, I think a lot of times now, because like, I actually went physically to a store to get the last television that I got, and most of the televisions there, it's hard to find one that, I wasn't looking for one that was under 4K, but they're all 4K in the stores. So even if you go during Black Friday to get a television or something like that, chances are you're going to walk away with a 4K television. Whether you walk away with one that's 4K HDR and blah, 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 that's another story, but 4K for sure. So that technology is there, but certainly I agree, you know, these big, huge concept screens and things like that, and giving this all the first look at what the deepest of deepest blacks will look like in some new form of OLED, that stuff is kind of silly. And then to have someone chasing you down in a place where they really are working on conceptual technology that's not going to be out in the next 5 years, that's weird.
I did see your new car, the Rivian.
I can't wait. Oh,
and I did also see a dark green braided cable from Belkin that I took a picture of for you, because I was like, my co-host is going to buy this immediately.
Yeah. I wonder why you haven't sent it to me yet.
I just found it earlier today out of my hundreds of videos. But
yeah.
So it turns out the tank turning on the Rivian, it has to have like loose gravel underneath for it to do the spin, because otherwise it would just rip your tires apart. But
love that.
It's slick looking.
But is it only for the blue one?
No, I think it's all of them. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was like, it's not just the newest stuff. It was a little weird because, maybe because we just did our episode the day before, but there was like, oh, you can use the Amazon Assistant to get gas. And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, we just talked about that. I don't know. Like, it was weird that a lot of their like stuff that they were like, this is the cool new thing, was just like a headline from the week before and not really anything like super. It's like there was a McLaren there that had the gas thing. And it's like, okay, supercars with, I don't know. It was just like,
yeah,
didn't fully connect with me. Or like, Google, the whole Google Assistant booth that they had, I tried to talk to every person was like, oh, email this number and they'll answer any of your questions. And I was like, I'm here to like talk to you, not
that's
like booth dudes or whatever. Like, and they had like a slide where you could take your picture. I don't know. It was just like, I got almost nothing out of the Google display, except that Instant Pot is coming out with a Google Assistant version, which is pretty nice. Because
So the Google Assistant will be built into the Instant Pot, or the Instant Pot will support the Google Assistant?
I don't know what the difference is.
One is that it actually serves as its own Google Assistant device. The other one is that it can just communicate with the Google Assistant.
I think it just communicates. I just kind of saw it on the shelf, but I was like, I'm always like checking when my stuff is ready, or like how long, like rice, you have to leave it for 10 minutes afterwards and stuff. Right, so just to have it like say like, oh, it's time to go back into the kitchen is pretty nice. But some of the interesting stuff that I saw was Linksys and like the Wi-Fi 6 routers, which were pretty cool. And I saw some other interesting Wi-Fi technology compared to...
Do they all look like, very angry?
The routers. I mean, they're like the black with the little...
Yeah,
it's
they pretty, all look pretty very generic. Pointy and scary.
It was like fancy-ish looking. I mean, I thought what was interesting about... Like, that is just the new version of Wi-Fi that's coming out. But there was also like a... there's like two sensors that you put on either side of your bed. And then what it does is, this is like, in general, I think Wi-Fi technology is being used for more detection type stuff, where like you have two sensors on either side of your bed, and based off of disruption of the Wi-Fi waves that are like crossing, they can tell if you're awake or like snoring and stuff like that. And so it was kind of like a hands-free like way to, or like device-free almost way to like track your sleep without, I think I was saying like, I don't want to wear my Apple Watch to sleep. So having something like that, that is just totally using Wi-Fi, was pretty cool. And they had like a whole vision sense board where I stood in between and waved my hand, and it like shows how that your motion can disrupt the Wi-Fi waves. So I thought that was pretty neat. A couple cool little products that I saw from Belkin was they made their Wemo switches way smaller now, which is cool. So they're not just like super wide and chunky. And I think they were saying, I don't remember where, but somewhere around the world, all of their outlets are side by side instead of above each other.
Oh.
And I was like, power strips also, but...
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't considered that, but in other places, that's how it's done.
They also have their own little like light switch or just button controls on the wall where you can set like up to 6 different scenes by tapping the buttons.
Are these all HomeKit enabled?
Yeah. Nice. Because Belkin is like, I mean, that's an overall thing, is that there wasn't too much HomeKit stuff because it's just way harder than most of the other stuff to integrate. But Belkin has a cool, it's called the Belkin React product coming out. And this is an outlet where it can trigger automations based off of whether power is being sent through the outlet or not. And so when they first showed that to me, I just didn't really get it. But their demo was a Qi charger, or just any type of charger, where when you put your phone on the charger, that's like sending power through the outlet, and then it can trigger an automation that way. And like right now with shortcuts and stuff like that, there's no I'm charging automation that you can use. So this is kind of like a way to use the power coming from something in order to set that up. So I definitely want to try that one out. That seems really cool.
Before you continue, though, we need to take another quick break. Speaking of automations, this episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Zapier. Growing a business is hard. You heard it here, but you already knew it. You don't want to be wasting hours every day moving data from emails to spreadsheets to your CRM to wherever you need it to go. No, shouldn't that just happen? Well, Zapier can help with that. See, Zapier has over 1,500 plus apps and is the easiest way to automate your work. You can focus on what matters most. You can connect all your business software to engage your leads instantly, to automatically import new customers, to notify your team about opportunities. Zapier is also more customizable. That's because it supports multi-step zaps. So the possibilities are virtually endless. That means you can have one setting that then has multiple steps to what happens. So when I get an email that has this particular word in it, then I want you to send that to my marketing team, and I want you to add it to this spreadsheet, and I'd like for you to send out this tweet. It can do all of those things, giving you so much control over the way that you automate. You can build the solution you need in minutes. There's no more wasting your time on tasks that you know could be automated, because that's exactly what Zapier was built to do. You just go to zapier.com/STT to connect the apps you use most and let Zapier take it from there. Best of all, it's easy to build the exact solution you need in minutes without writing code or asking a developer for help. You can join more than 4.5 million people who are saving an average of 40 hours per month. That really adds up. 40 hours per month saved by using Zapier. I've talked before about Zapier and how I use it. I use it literally for the work that I do here at Twit. we have one of the shows that I do, Tech News Weekly, we use a prompter. And what we would have to do before is put all the information into a text file, save that text file, upload that text file to Dropbox. Then the person could open up the file in the particular Dropbox folder in order to bring it up as the prompter that we needed to have. With my Zapier Zap, I can simply take a Google Doc document that has the script in it, put it into a folder, and boom, it automatically gets turned over. First, it gets turned into plain text, then it gets dropped into the Dropbox ready for the person to open. So it takes like 3 or 4 steps out of the process. Plus, I've used it in the past for lots of different things. Posting images in one place that have particular hashtags will then post them to other services that I have. Again, the possibilities are endless. And sometimes it's fun to just say, I have this service and this app and this service and this app. What can Zapier do for me? And you'll find out all of these different fun projects that you can create and automate with. You can make more time to grow your business right now through the end of the month. Try Zapier free by going to zapier.com/STT. That's Zapier.com/STT for your free 14-day trial. Zapier.com/STT. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Zapier, for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today and for making those automations easier for me that I use here at Twit. Do appreciate it. All righty, Matthew, let's get back to it.
Gotta get my stretches in because there's still a lot. So I talked to the people from Nanoleaf and they were talking about their, we were mentioning this earlier. They have the new hexagon shapes,
yes,
for
the
Nanoleaf panels, but then also those will be set up to connect to different types of shapes in the future. And I don't think the old ones will have this functionality, which is a tiny bit of a shame, but also I think it's cool that like you can get these in the future and then mix and match the new types of shapes that they're going to come out with after that and create whole different types of designs. And each panel can be a different type of trigger thing. So I'm definitely getting interested in those because it seems like it's the perfect type of thing for me.
I just see you in your house like,
and it's just like, everything's like going off, like stuff's exploding.
Matilda.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just don't have to do my laundry. It all just flies downstairs for me. It's amazing. Another cool brand that I think I mentioned it this last week too is ConnectSense. They have a smart outlet that goes in your wall and then you can control from the outlet level. And it even has like a little NFC tag on it so that you can tap your phone to the outlet and trigger things like that, which is pretty neat.
ConnectSense has come a long way. I have to give them credit where credit is due. I was in their early iterations, not a fan of the products that they created. They were sort of bulky. It looked like someone had taken a good smart home product, stuck a like basketball inflation device into it and pumped it 2 or 3 times. So it was like a Stay Puffed version of a normal smart tech gadget, but they've really come a long way, from those days. So
yeah,
good work.
I was talking with them and they were like saying how incredibly packed in those little things are because it's like, do you want this or that? Well, it totally changes the design. I think another little like smart thing, I want to say, dare I say a trend, but like very small of the smart buttons, because now IKEA has them, the Hue has one. And then I talked to Flick and they were like, yeah, we're the leader in this space for sure. So that's super cool. I was just like poking around with their stuff and they gave me a little review kit. So I will be talking about those more in a future project, I'd say. Withings, not Withings.
It's called Withings?
I think so. Or it's like, I don't remember, but it's definitely not Withings.
They said, oh my God.
Or maybe, did I just get it wrong again? Oh, okay.
I should have. I've always said it as Withings.
I should have filmed myself saying all their names.
Yeah, I've always said it as Withings, but if it's not that, oh man, that changes everything for me.
I did see that they have a smartwatch that helps you detect sleep apnea and stuff like that.
Ooh,
cool. I was sort of like, maybe it's just because of the particular use in my family that my dad has sleep apnea. And I was like, do you need a watch to tell you that you have sleep apnea and then you just have it and it doesn't help you after that point. Like it, I wasn't total. It's like, yeah, you're sleeping terribly all the time. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with that and disagree with that. I agree with it in the concept that yes, if you're going to have something that's as permanent as a smartwatch, having it tell you that you have sleep apnea and then, okay, so now what does it do besides that kind of a thing versus the product that I have been, you know, really hyping up in the past year and now this coming year, which is the Better sleep tracking device. I can't remember exactly what it's called. Sleep Tuner, Better Sleep Tuner. And that device, it helps you figure out what sleep conditions you might have. And
is that's when you put on your face?
Yes.
Literally? Yes. That, I can see you gesturing.
Yes. I've talked about this enough, so I'm not going to keep talking about it, but it is a really genuinely a good device because it's very expensive to go into to have a sleep study done. And it is very cost prohibitive for anyone who doesn't have health insurance. And sleep apnea is a very, 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 very scary thing when you understand how it works. Yeah. Because essentially you just stop breathing. It will quite literally kill your brain cells and also change the physical structure of your heart over time. It starts to change because there are areas of low and high pressure in your chest cavity. It starts to reshape the muscle of your heart. It's killing your brain cells over time. And so over time, it can become a very harmful disease that quite literally ruins your brain. And I think that that's horrifying. And people who don't have health insurance may not be able to afford going to have a sleep study done, because when there's a sleep study done, there are at least two people that you are having to pay to be there with you,
wired up all night long,
all of these wires and all of these devices. Yeah, it's ridiculously expensive. And so if I can have something that can tell me, yes, I do have sleep apnea, and then I can go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, here's this. And then they can just prescribe me the machine that I need for that. That cuts out so much money that someone without health insurance doesn't have. So that's why I like any technology that's going to do this, I think is great. But I agree with you that in the scope of a smartwatch, once it tells me I have sleep apnea, can I just shut that feature off now? Like, I don't really need it to keep telling me that over and over again.
I think it's interesting. And I wish I had paid more attention to the health angles of stuff. I think it's, especially at CES, it's hard to parse between, like, first of all, is this real? Like, there's like that one's particularly, there's ways to detect it, but there's a lot of stuff that's like, pee on a stick and we'll tell you your blood like makeup and stuff like that, which
pee on a stick and we'll tell you which Disney character you are.
So yeah, I feel like the health stuff is super interesting and I want to pay attention to that more. Partially also, I was looking at, I don't remember where I heard this conversation, but people were talking about people who want to buy smartwatches who wear watches and want like the style of traditional watches. And so I went like through the Garmin booth and they're all digital screens on the faces. So I was like, this technically looks like a watch, but you want real watches for the watch face and what that looks like, and the actually looked like a nice watch too. Has a digital portion, but the rest is still a real face. So that was pretty interesting. But the one that I was actually most interested in was a sleep related one too, and it didn't have the thing that you stick on your forehead, because I was like, those are always hard to grasp a little bit. But it's like a little inflatable, I don't want to say air mattress thing, but like a little like pad that inflates and you stick under your mattress and then it can detect your motion and stuff like that. So the same type of like sleep tracking without having to wear something. Because I thought that was super interesting, just because nighttime is the only time I take off my Apple Watch and I don't want to roll over onto a watch on my wrist in bed and stuff like that. So that's always kind of been
Princess and the Pea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people it bothers them and some people it doesn't. So
some people,
I have very high standards, Micah.
Look, okay, that's fine. I'm just going to leave that. I'll just leave it.
So I think another like general thing that I'm very behind on Qi charging, but I thought it was interesting. There was a lot of like air power type things that have your phone plus Apple Watch plus AirPods type space. But what was actually really the most like interesting thing that I learned wasn't from being physically at CES. It was the place that I stayed had an angled up G charger, and so I used it all week long. And also, not being at home, I didn't have any of my assistant stuff, and I was just like, oh, it turns out it's really helpful to have your phone up at an angle, because then when you use the trigger phrase, you can like interact with your phone like it's a smart speaker. But the other thing that I saw was from, I think this is Belkin and branded with a French brand, that's a smart speaker that looks like it has the top cut out and then it's a Qi charger on top. And so it's kind of a two-in-one. And I again, like my first impression is like, some people like want the smart speaker or the Qi charger, but I do almost like want to use my Qi chargers as like coasters, because they look like they're like taking up a space that's just for that type of thing. And I thought it does like, they gave me a private demo, which was all fancy. And that thing was like very, very loud. So it is a solid little deal. And then you also have a phone charger there too, which is nice.
Cool.
Some like larger trends too that I kind of saw were like actual forays into the smart closet or smart oven or like planter box type things that you could get in your house, which is pretty cool.
Who's the one that's working on the gardening? Is it Samsung?
I saw Miravel was a like lesser known brand, but there was like four different versions of this type of stuff.
Indoor gardening for whenever we can no longer go outside because the world is trying to kill us.
I mean, like nowadays.
Fair. Yeah, Samsung
is it even just like, I don't have a yard to plant stuff in. And so if you could just kind of have fresh fruit and keep track of it and all that, it seemed pretty cool. I think I did slightly lean away from like, here's an installation that takes up a whole space in your house sort of deal, because that does get just like really pricey. But some of them are like, I think it was like a closet that would like wash the clothes in the closet. And then they have like smart mirror type things that can read out your like day or like show you in an outfit and type of stuff. I do think that was a little more conceptual. This is like LG and stuff like that. So again, like they have the means to actually make it, but are they going to or not is who knows. But yeah, like Anova, which makes the super popular sous vide, they have like a whole smart oven system coming, and they were saying they took what they learned a lot from those situations and have like really improved the technology, which is cool. Let me see. There was a lot of air fresheners and humidifier type things. So like smart smells for your home. And like they have like little pods that you can like mix and match the different smells. And then the one from Procter & Gamble's brand they said the air is like trapped in molecules that float on the air. And so it diffuses throughout like a much larger space than the average one. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. See, when a big brand is doing it and they throw in some interesting science with it, I'm interested, because there have been some smart air scent dealy bobs on the market before, and they were always very expensive and didn't do any better than just going and buying an air wick thing at the store. So that's actually fascinating to me.
They were saying a lot of it is like having the control of like, I want it to stop smelling now and stuff like that, versus stuff that just goes the second you open it for the very first time.
And to be able to trade between scents means that your nose never gets used to it as well, which is kind of nice. We'll keep talking about your trends, but I do want to take another break here really quickly to tell you about just some of my favorite folks, which of course is Casper. We're bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today. Of course, it is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Their products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. You spend one third of your life. I was just telling someone this the other day. They were talking about how they skimped on mattresses and just got a mattress pad. You spend one third of your life, a third of your entire life, 33% of your life sleeping. You should be comfortable. You should spend all of the money in the world on a mattress if you needed to. A third of your whole life is spent sleeping. This is ridiculous. You should be taking care of yourself in that way. Sleep is so important. I'm not going to get into it any more than this, just to say how important sleep is. And the Casper mattress, of which I am a big fan, it combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep service with the right amount of both sink and bounce. Its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Folks, I am not ashamed to admit I've got the Casper mattress, the Casper sheets, the Casper pillows, the Casper bed frame. Casper offers three other mattresses, by the way, not just the original Casper mattress, but they've also got the Wave, the Essential, and the Hybrid. The Wave, do it with me now, features a patent-pending premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body. The Essential has a streamlined design at a price that won't keep you up at night. And the Hybrid combines the pressure relief of the award-winning foam with durable yet gentle springs. This one sounds incredible. It lasts so much longer. The springs, go to the site and check it out. There's a reason why these springs make sense. I've been reading about it and thinking about upgrading my Casper mattress to this, and then I'll get to move my current Casper mattress to the guest bedroom. And then everybody gets to be happy. Casper also offers a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets. As I've just mentioned, all fantastic. The pillows, they are double. So there's a pillow on the inside, and then it comes with this external thing that you zip around the outside that has more pillow on either side. And so even whenever your head compresses that outside pillow, the inside pillow still stays fluffed. So it's just providing you more support. I've already described my personal experience with Casper and why I really do love this mattress. And I'm not lying about that. Genuinely, this has been a life-changing thing for me and got me into sleep and makes me shout at everyone about how they need to get better sleep. So if you want to join the sleeping crew who wants everybody out there to get a better night's sleep, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Casper also offers free shipping and painless returns to the U.S. and Canada. So if you don't want the mattress, call them and you say, hey, I don't want this. They'd go ahead and take it back and handle all that for you. Get a Casper mattress today. You can save $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/STT and using the code STT at checkout. That's $100 off select mattresses by going to casper.com/STT and entering the code STT at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Our thanks to Casper for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today and giving me the best sleep of my life.
I definitely love that. Is like one of the best parts of coming home from a trip like this is just like getting in bed, and I have a Casper mattress too, and the pillows and the sheets, and it's like I can sleep again properly.
even in comparison to hotel mattresses. Many times. Yeah, they go for overly soft mattresses a lot of the time, and that's not good for your back or your anything. I had another podcast for talking all about sleep. It's not there anymore. Maybe I need to start it up again so I can get all of this energy out into it. we need to talk about the project this week, which I thought it would be fun to talk about. You filmed 500,000 clips at CES. What hardware did you use? What lighting did you use? How did you go about doing this? Because I mean, you basically said, I'm going to CES, let's see what happens. And I'm curious how you prepared for that.
Yeah, so I did a mobile version of what my normal setup would be, because especially like I need a new backpack. And so I have the Peak Design 10 liter messenger bag type thing.
Okay.
And I did not want to carry around my heavy camera in that the entire week, because I was like already, like I said, 13 miles, that would have just, it would already hurt my shoulder a decent amount with just what I had. So I opted to not go for the like fiddling with my camera the whole time and stressing, and just did iPhone only wide angle stuff, which there are some lessons there. it's not exactly the best first version of that camera. And so there was a lot of noise and a lot of shots where there was darkness. But then I used the iPhone Smart battery case, which is the newest version, where I saw that they actually just did a recall version on the last, like the original model, they just recalled because it wouldn't stay connected into the chargers after a certain amount of time. But that case was amazing because it, yeah, they pulled up my tweet where it's like, I made it the very first day. My phone didn't even start like drawing the battery. And then the second day I did a lot more, but it basically, what it does is it keeps your phone top off until the battery case runs out and then it starts charging down your phone. And so basically the main part of the day, I was always using the battery case and then it would start to get my phone over time. I think I tweeted to someone, I was like, I can't tell you how nice it was to not at all think about battery while I was there. And it was like my filming tool of choice.
Because it does have that camera button, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it's got a dedicated camera button on it now so that you can quickly, you can always like swipe open to the camera screen, but even with the 3D touch gestures are gone on iPhones now, so you have to like you have to get it really specifically, or
it's really,
I still can't
now.
Turn on the flashlight. I'm always like pressing and it's not doing it. But the camera button is awesome because it both enables you to like, when you're holding up the phone, your fingers are already naturally in the place to press the shutter, which is really handy. And then even the volume control things in the little studio neat glyph that I have, and I'm like holding it. I had a little Manfrotto tripod on the bottom, just like a small little one. And the way you hold it, you can kind of just press your finger up and turn it on and off that way too. And then I had a Rode Video Micro Plus. I don't remember. They have a lot of pluses at the end of their product names, that I've had for a couple years. And the funny thing with that is it has a, in audio gear, the little like fuzzy thing that you put on a microphone is called a dead cat, because it kind of looks like a dead cat, which is a terrible name. but that fuzzy thing was showing up in my wide angle shots because shot is so wide that like there was just like a fuzz ball in the top right corner. And so I actually ended up just taking that off and using the straight mic the whole time.
Yeah, the lens but is pretty, that wide angle lens is pretty incredible. Sometimes in a bad way, where your fingers exactly. Like slightly showing in it and stuff.
Well, there was a whole lot of like at CES, the lights are up really high and shining kind of straight down. And so when you stand back, and I feel like most people, in theory, what I would have done is actually use the 2x lens a lot, because that gives you a nice focal length and kind of doesn't distort the product at all. It gives you most natural to kind of what your eye looks like versus the 1x camera. But when you use the ultra wide, you have to get a lot closer, which means when the light is behind the camera, it shines a shadow of your whole rig into the shot. And so a lot of times where I couldn't actually get close enough to a product because it just kind of didn't work out with the angles. But basically I would shoot on my iPhone every day, and then even have Wi-Fi at the place I stayed, and so that was a little scary of all footage on my iPhone at all times. And as a backup, I actually airdropped it to my iPad every night, which is Apple engineers, if you're listening, if you cannot airdrop more than 30 videos at once, or else it will just not do anything. And like I've thought over time, because it was like 40 wouldn't work, 5 wouldn't work, but 30 worked. And so I did like 5 batches of 30 videos at a time, just wirelessly transferring the footage from my phone to my iPad so that I just didn't lose it all, because that would have been really frustrating.
That definitely would have stunk to lose all of that footage, for sure.
The photos memories feature is like pre-curating the video for me to show, to let me know like which are the best shots already. And then I can, or even just like out of a clip, it can just detect the most interesting moments. And so that is actually super helpful. Just like a quick and dirty version of what your video could be. And then also just gave me like inspiration for the music that I was going to use in it.
That is very cool that you kind of had a built-in curation device.
Yeah, it's actually super helpful, because it's, especially when you're the only person reviewing it all, it's like, is this interesting or not? Or this little moment and stuff. Like I kept a lot of my shots, I like pan over the photo and then go back and stuff like that. So it kind of picked the best ones for me.
Nice.
But yeah, it's been super fun. I think one of the things that I was saying to someone else is I uniquely have a perspective now of what's coming this year, what isn't coming this year, like what's what I want to see next year type of thing or 2 years from now. And that's something that I don't think I would have gotten at all just reading headlines. So that was pretty fun. And even just like something for like my own personal productivity that I've kind of been leaning into in the last year is it's really hard to perfectly plan something the first time you do it. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier to do it once and then improve on it the next time. And so I felt like that's what I did with this CES was learn a lot of the companies, just where to go, how to get around sort of situation. And then also like, maybe if I see the same type of thing as I did this year, next year, I'll have a sense for that. And then just like planning some more specific videos or picking the people that I want to see in a shorter video and stuff like that. But it was a lot of fun. I guess I do want to say one quick thing because I didn't get to it before was there's now it's called GaN technology is makes all of the smart plugs and like USB-C chargers that we have. It basically lets them, it's like different than silicon. And now a lot of the chargers that you get are going to be a lot smaller too, which is really helpful. Cool. Like I saw a lot of like 100 watt chargers that are in the size of like a deck of cards compared to like the big bulky thing you get with a MacBook Pro. So I feel like that's another trend is there's a lot more miniaturization of power technology. And then I guess even just like there's a million smart home brands that you've never heard of out there that you can probably find some. If you don't care about the smart assistant, you can get just like remote control type things that are actually like it's worth saying that that stuff is a lot cheaper. And so I think there's some options out there too.
Nice. Cool. Okay, well, we are just about done with this week's episode, but we'll round things out with our picks of the week. This week for my picks, I am actually going to point you folks to the two hands-on tech reviews that I did. Over the past couple of weeks, Anthony, our awesome producer, came over to my place and I reviewed the Nanoleaf Canvas panels. Nice. I've had the Nanoleafs up in my living room over my fireplace, and they do so many cool things, which, you know, we talk about in the video. And you can, you know, listen to music and have that be synced with it. You can set up the panels like Matthew was talking about, where each panel is its own individual control point. You can swipe up and down on them to change the brightness and shift between different scenes very easily. So a really fun thing that feels very futuristic. And it makes me think of, I remember as a kid reading a book about how it was, you know, a future vision book where the little kid was in a room and his walls were just screens. And So he could, you know, make himself appear in a African safari if he wanted to. And this feels like sort of the first steps of that for sure.
I'll see that next year at CES.
Yeah. For now, it's still a little cost prohibitive. They are pretty pricey, but they're very cool and a lot of fun. And then also the video I did for review I did for the Philips Hue HDMI sync box. That is, I think I did that as a pick of the week or a project not too long ago.
Yeah.
But essentially, these let you sync up as many Philips Hue lights as you'd like to. In my case, I did two Philips Hue play bars and a Philips Hue light strip are all synced to what my television is, you know, currently playing. And I watched the entirety of Star Wars leading up to the most recent film with that turned on. And it quite added to the experience and really brought me into it.
Those are so interesting. You're making me jealous every time you talk about those. So
see,
I might have to get in on that.
I honestly thought that it was going to be one of those things that pulled me out of the experience and was distracting. And so I wanted to give it, you know, the real try. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to turn these on while I'm watching these. And it actually was like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool.
Nice.
So those are my picks of the week. Those videos will have all the information that you need to know, as well as links to those products individually. And if you're not subscribed to Hands on Tech, then go ahead and subscribe because that's episode 74 and 75 of Hands on Tech.
Nice. My pick of the week this week is a company that I saw at Eureka Park, which is the kind of slightly unproven ideas. And one thing I did have fun with at CES was I do play music, so I play the drums, and I just recently got a guitar too. And so I was keeping an eye out just because I was personally interested in that stuff. And this is, it's called Senstroke, and the company is Redesen. So it's like sensing the like stroke of your drumsticks. And basically what this does is it's a little sensor that you put onto your drumstick, and then you program it with something like GarageBand for different types of gestures. Mm-hmm. So one would be like forward or off to the left or like super high up and fast. And basically what you can do is as you're like air drumming on your legs, it will play the hi-hats with your right hand and the snare with your left. I think there's one for your foot to like hit the bass. And so you can basically be air drumming, but it will actually still play the music. And it's kind of like playing the drums when you don't have a drum set there, which is for most drummers is 99% of the problem. You can't take a drum set somewhere. So I thought this was super cool, and I definitely want to play around with it because it's just like playing on your legs. And it's like, so that stuff is super neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. The Senstroke by Redesen. And we'll of course include links to that as well. That brings us to the end of another episode of Smart Tech Today. You can email us your questions. That's right. We do accept questions and project ideas and all sorts of troubleshooting if you need that. Send those to stt@twit.tv. That will get it definitely to my inbox and in theory to Matthew's inbox as well, but certainly to mine. So I will get that. stt@twit.tv. You can head to twit.tv/stt. And that will give you a place where you can subscribe to all the versions of the show, both in audio and, yes, now video formats. There are links there all of those. Heck yeah. If you want to tune in live, you can do so. We record the show live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 2300 UTC. That said, we will not be recording an episode this coming Monday. It is Martin Luther King Day, and we will be out for that episode. So don't tune in next Monday for Smart Tech Today, but you know, maybe take some time to reflect, as we will be doing. You can follow us on the social media, Matthew, if people want to see the videos that you're coming out with, see the cool stuff that you're putting out, tell me all about it. Where can they do that?
Sure. I'd say you should go to my Hover, my website that I've used the Hover service to get my domain for, MatthewCasinelli.com. And then I don't believe this is hooked up yet, but I want to have Smart Tech Today videos hosted on my YouTube channel using Zapier to add them to a playlist for me. So I'm going to work on that afterwards. And then I'll go sleep in my Casper mattress.
Very nice. If you want to follow me online, I'm at Micah Sargent on pretty much all of the social things, or you can head to chihuahua.coffee. Yes, that's a real website, chihuahua.coffee, which has links to all the things that I do. And of course, as I mentioned, I've already mentioned that, how to subscribe to the show, twit.tv/stt, where you can subscribe to the show if you haven't yet. If you've been subscribed to the audio version and you want to get the video version, that's where you need to head so you can get it in HD or high definition or low definition. Alrighty, folks, it is time to say goodnight to your smart assistants.
Goodbye, CES. Goodbye, unnamed smart assistants that will never come to market.